You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. There are nearly 1,500 dams in California with reservoirs that strive to meet a variety of needs that can conflict with each other, from water storage to flood protection, electricity, and recreation. But this feat of engineering really took place in the 20th century. The five largest reservoirs in our state were built anywhere from 40 to 80 years ago. And in that time, there have been some hard learning lessons, including the harmful impact to native species and wildlife that rely on the same water used by tens of millions of Californians. Not to mention dam removals that have taken place recently, including along the Klamath River, which is currently underway near the Oregon border and is the largest dam removal project of its kind in U.S. history. But recently, there has been the political will to move forward with a major reservoir that was first conceived in the dam heydays of the 1950s, but never came to fruition. It's located about 80 miles north of Sacramento in Glen and Colusa counties. Governor Newsom announced streamlining the site's reservoir project, which his office says could store enough water for 3 million households a year. It is a lofty project with a long history, and it does come with pushback. Joining us to help sift through it all is Jeffrey Mount, a senior fellow with the Water Policy Center at the Public Policy Institute of California, PPIC. Welcome, Jeffrey.
Glad to be here.
I'm curious, when did you first learn about the site's reservoir project?
Most of my adult life, it's been around in some way, shape, or form. And back, you know, years ago in the 90s, in this period we call CalFed, long forgotten by everybody, we were trying to solve the problems of the Delta, which will never really be solvable. We just try to manage them. That had been a proposal. In fact, one of the proposals that came up was to make it an environmental reservoir, so 100% devoted to managing the environment. And of course, that like so many ideas died, but it was reinvented. It's been reinvented many times, but basically the passage of Proposition 1 back in 2014 with the Water Supply Infrastructure Program as part of that is really brought sites to life again.
Yeah, it's kind of a resurgence within the last decade or so. Can you describe why this area, about 80 miles north of Sacramento, why it's prime for a reservoir? What is the landscape like?
Well, I mean, first thing I want your listeners to know is this is not your Folsom-style reservoir. This is an off-channel reservoir. So they're literally going to drown a valley, which is up in the foothills west of the town of Maxwell. And Maxwell's not probably a place you stop at often on your way north on I-5. But that's the proposal, and that they actually will put a straw in the river is the way we describe it, and they will draw water out of the river, pump it up into this reservoir, and store it there.
Yeah, I was going to ask why or how it's different from dams of the past. So what is an off-river storage basin? I mean, help us visualize how that will work.
So these are really important to water supply, and you know, everybody has kind of a vision of Folsom Dam or Oroville or a Shasta-style vision, but these turn out to be really important throughout California, and we've been using them for years. And let's think of Los Vaqueros for Contra Costa County, the San Luis Reservoir, that huge reservoir you see when you drive south on I-5, Diamond Valley in Los Angeles. All of these are off-stream storage reservoirs, and they rely on us basically pumping water during times of high flow into them, storing them, then saving them for using in the dry times. And that's the principle.
So essentially, this would capture like stormwater from the Sacramento River.
Well, the way it's currently set up, and again, this all depends on approval from the State Water Resources Control Board. The way it's currently set up, they will divert water. They'll pump water out of the Sacramento River during periods of high-ish flow. And I say high-ish because it's not necessarily flood flows, but they have a threshold of higher flows when they can actually pump. And that's what their plan is that they'll do that. And then they turn it off when the river drops down to sort of more normal flows. So yeah, it's to try and harvest some of these higher flows.
Given that this has been proposed, you know, in many different versions over the last, you know, many, many decades, what is the argument for needing it now, today?
Well, the argument has been the same all along, and this is to deal with dry year scarcity. I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, you know, Vicky, I visited with you during the last drought, and then there was the drought before, and all of those, you know, scarcity hit home hard. And so the idea was, and just by the way, 2023 really ran this home. At PPIC, we just wrote a bunch about this last year. We don't do a very good job of storing water during these wet periods when it has the least environmental impact. And we don't do a particularly great job of managing water during dry periods when it has a very high environmental impact. So the concept behind this is to try and soften the scarcity blow during these dry periods. Hyperbole is always, regardless of whether you're in favor of it or you're opposed to it, you know, there's a lot of exaggeration about what it does and does not accomplish. But conceptually, the idea is that you are basically harvesting these flows like in years like this, 2023, where they project they could have put aside 700,000 acre feet. That's like 70% of a Folsom Reservoir worth of water they could have stored this year and then used later for dry years.
Mm. In the announcement, I believe this was last week, Governor Newsom announced that he's going to streamline this project. We'll dive into that in just a moment. Mm-hmm. But in that message, he said that the site's reservoir could serve up to 3 million households a year. And as we know, there's a whole network of water infrastructure getting water from one place to another. Mm-hmm. What areas would benefit from the site's reservoir?
So one of the things you do if you go online and you see who has actually bought into the sites, because they've got a big broad coalition of folks who want a piece of that water pie. It's everything from the federal government to the state government, which would be the Central Valley Project and the State Water Projects are two huge projects, but also a lot of irrigation districts in the Sacramento Valley. And there is interest on the part of Metropolitan Water District in Southern California. So which you're going to see a lot of straws in the glass is the best way to describe it, wanting some of that water. So it's got again, Vicky, you and I have talked about this before. We rely heavily on this amazing conveyance system that we have here in California, which can move water hundreds mm-hmm. of miles to various sources. And water does flow uphill to money. So there's a lot of money involved in this, and they'd like to get at that water. So I honestly, this is going to affect the Sacramento Valley, the San Joaquin Valley, probably the Bay Area, and it will also affect Southern California.
I was looking at the size. And so the capacity of this reservoir, if it gets completed, is 1.5 million acre feet. Now, for context, Shasta Lake is three times that in capacity. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think of the site's reservoirs more in line with Folsom Lake. It's about 1 million acre feet. And Folsom's primary purpose is not water storage. It's really for flood control. So will this actually make a big difference in water supply? Why not make it bigger if the goal is to store water for people across the state?
So the limitation always in this is money. I mean, you can envision fantastic infrastructure projects, but you can't afford them, and their environmental impacts are just simply, we're just not going to tolerate it as a society. So it just gets too expensive to store much larger volumes. So that's the key here. And in fact, you know, there's a lot for this depends on how often we get really wet years. Because during these dry years like we had in 2020, 2021, 2022, they wouldn't have taken a drop of water out of the river. They would have, in fact, been putting water back into the river to basically move it to various sources. So it's very different than Folsom in that regard. And Folsom, even in a drought year, you get some filling of Folsom. And, of course, Folsom does triple duty when you think about it. It's a flood control structure, a water supply mm-hmm. structure, and hydropower structure. So and now they're trying to make better environmental conditions on the Lower American River. Sites is nothing like that. It's just a place to stash water off the stream and then let water out in the dry periods.
Yeah, and this is like at its max, it can supply water to 3 million households. Is that a big dent given that we do go through periods of dry spells that can span several years?
Okay, so I want to lower expectations here. First of all, it probably won't go to 3 million households. The fact is a lot of that water will go to irrigation of farms in the Sacramento Valley. And so that's probably going to be the majority of use of that water in it, because we've got irrigation districts lined up for that water and they want it. So we always do that 3 million households, you know, the number of millions of households, when in fact, you know, as you know, 80% of our water goes to farms. And that's where the big pressure is on water supplies, particularly to farms. But you know, and the argument is it might increase. Here's one of the things that you're going to hear, the hyperbole that you're going to hear. It might increase the capacity north of Sacramento, the storage capacity by 15%. You know, that's not what we're concerned about. We're actually concerned more about yield, right? Because if you can't fill it, you don't get that water.
Right.
And so that's where the push comes to shove. And the yield was going to be much, much less than that.
Mm. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're learning about the Sites Reservoir Project with Jeffrey Mount, a senior fellow at the Public Policy Institute of California, PPIC. So in terms of pushback, there are environmental groups mm-hmm. that have been vocal about being skeptical, and that's on the light end, to being flat out opposed mm-hmm. to another major reservoir that's being built in California. After the harm that has been done to native species, I mean, we think about dwindling salmon run populations over the decades. Do their arguments have weight?
Well, you cannot build a dam without impact. Period. I mean, they all have impact. There's nothing benign about these things. I mean, you know, last really big off-stream storage we did was the one in Southern California, Diamond Valley. And its impacts were pretty low because it was, you know, obscure place up in the mountains. But the fact is you're diverting water out of the rivers. And that's where the balance really comes, is do those diversions out of the river have serious environmental impacts? Now, they're going through that whole process right now. They've released their EIRs, and these are all in review, and people are, you know, gnashing their teeth about what kinds of impacts there would be. But, you know, I have colleagues on both sides of this issue, that you just can't take any more water out of this system, even in high flows, and other colleagues who will say, of course you can't. You can't demonstrate that it has any impact. So expect that debate to be really, really strong. And again, both sides have an argument here.
I mean, I'm just going to ask this question. Has there ever been a dam or a reservoir that has been beneficial to the
environment?
To the environment?
No. I can't point to one. We've never built a reservoir for the environment.
Tap dance around it, and I was like, I'll just ask it.
So. Okay, just ask it. But I do want to say, what's novel about Sites is 18% of the volume of that is supposed to be managed for the environment. Mm-hmm. That's how they ended up getting almost $800 million in taxpayer dollars, was to pay for the benefits associated with that portion, which is allocated for management of the environment.
There's also the argument that reservoirs, I mean, they're outdated, they're antiquated. I mean, we have other alternatives out there. I remember several years ago reporting on dams are getting older.
Yeah.
Maintaining them is a challenge. Yeah. So are there alternatives to the Sites Reservoir?
Almost always. But let me give you the number one alternative we're looking at. Let's go down to Kern County and what happened down there this year. They have a water bank down there. They were able to put 1 million acre feet of water into the ground. That is equal to an entire Folsom Reservoir, and they stored it into the ground. So yes, I think we're going to see projects of surface storage, but that's not going to be the big number. The big number is going to be how much water we put into the ground and we store in the ground. That is the future big reservoir in California. You know, that's not a knock on Sites or the projects that's going on in Contra Costa County where they're raising Los Vaqueros or the Pacheco Reservoir that they're proposing. Those are sort of the three big ones that are currently knowing. I want you to notice, though, there are no major proposals for on-river dams at this point. I think we're done with that, and I think we've moved into the era of groundwater storage. I mean, honestly, that is going to be the contrast between the 21st century and the 20th century.
You know, your nonprofit, the PPIC, I mean, you've done some research on new ways to store water for the environment. Mm-hmm. Tell us about it.
Well, I mean, what we have been saying for years is we treat the environment like a constraint rather than an objective. And that basically is how we run our reservoirs. Run it right up till you don't break the law, and then, you know, the rest is used for water supply. And I think we need to start rethinking how we operate our reservoirs so that we can spend, especially with the pressure of climate change that's going on, we have to rethink how we operate our reservoirs, not just so that we barely meet environmental standards of flow and water quality, but start thinking about how to save species below these reservoirs and embed it into all phases of operation. So we've been proposing for years at PPIC, we all ought to start thinking about doing kind of what they're proposing at Sites, setting aside a portion of the volume of the reservoir for the environment, for managing the environment.
You also looked at, like, modeling what storage downstream of Shasta. So Sites Reservoir will be downstream of Shasta. What benefit could that have?
So it's interesting. We did a hypothetical model, only just for good reasons. We did a hypothetical model of a reservoir that you want to operate better for the environment. And it turns out downstream storage from that particular reservoir is great because it creates flexibility when you're trying to give you an example. I mean, if you can store some water in a downstream reservoir, you can maintain your cold water in your upstream reservoir, which you need for salmon, for example, so that you can actually do trade-offs between these two. It's increasing flexibility in a system. So, yeah, we modeled that. It wasn't exactly Shasta and sites, but we had a kind of a hypothetical model. And that was done by Sarah Null, a professor at Utah State. And her that paper is on our website if people want to look at it.
Is the state receptive to things like this?
Well, you know, we throw a lot of things at the state. It's kind of like spaghetti on the wall. You know, sometimes they stick, sometimes they don't. And this one I'm not sure about.
A core piece, and I touched upon this, to streamlining this project is a new law that Governor Newsom pushed and he signed. It essentially accelerates critical projects of infrastructure by avoiding years of litigation delays due to CEQA, and that's the California Environmental Quality Act. Now, the governor signed this into law not that long ago, a few months ago. So is this project, Sites Reservoir, is this like the first project he selected to streamline?
You know, I think it may be. Actually, I don't know. I missed it if there were others, but this is certainly going to be the most controversial first one streamlined. There are rational people who say this doesn't meet the letter of the law, and it shouldn't have. But the fact is the governor certified it. There's one caveat I think people need to remember here. The law as written allows for the streamlining the CEQA process, California Environmental Quality Act process, and really shortening the length of time of review. If feasible, and that's what the law says. If feasible, and I've asked people, what does feasible mean? And they said, we won't know until we see it. What is and is not feasible. So there is the potential that this might, because it's so complicated. Mm-hmm. This is such a complicated project. It might not be feasible to get it done real quickly.
I know timelines, they change all the time.
Yep.
You know, but talking, you know, today, November 15th, 2023, how does this shape the timeline for the project? If it moves forward and it's completed, when could this reservoir actually be functional?
10 years.
10 years.
That would be my guess. 10 years, because we joke about water supply projects twice as long and twice as much, and so that, because, you know, cost overruns and everything else takes a long time to do a big project like this.
That also brings me to cost, because the estimated total is $4 billion. You mentioned about $800 to $900 million come from taxpayer money. So who's paying for the rest of it?
It turns out they have really an impressive coalition of federal and state water project, federal Central Valley project folks, and then on the ground folks there. It looks like there's still some decisions that have to be made. It looks like they have the money for that 4.5. I mean, it's really, actually, I think at this point today, it's $4.5 billion to build it. So it looks like they have that lined up, which was, frankly, to those of us who sit on the outside, I'm impressed that they were able to round up the funding for that, because I thought that was always going to be the toughest hurdle for Sites Reservoir. But it looks like they've got it. So, and for now, I mean, again, don't forget, twice as long, twice as much. Things are going to get expensive.
Yeah. When it comes to managing it, I mean, each reservoir or dam is managed either by the state, the feds, or local managers. So who is going to be responsible for this reservoir?
Okay, so this is what a JPA, Joint Powers Authority, is basically going to run this dam. So it's not a federal dam. It's not a state dam. It's essentially a quasi-governmental organization, local governmental organization that will run the dam. So, but again, the federal government's involved, state government's involved. They have to abide by all the water quality and flow regulations that are going to be set on that dam, because they're applying for a water right. They have to go to the State Water Resources Control Board, and they have to grant them a right to use that water. And that could be, we'll see. I don't know how that's going to turn out.
And water's valuable. So who will profit off the project once it's completed?
Well, the people who use the water. I mean, they're going to pay for that water, and that pays for the project. And in fact, that's basically the principle there. And they're going to pay for it. It's going to be expensive water. There's no two ways around it. New surface water is very expensive, especially now. But they will pay for it. So the users will pay for it. This is not going to be government subsidies on this. It'll be, except for the one, for the environmental share of it. The rest is just user pays.
Jeffrey, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure, always.
Good 101. Jeffrey Mount is a senior fellow at the Public Policy Institute of California, PPIC, discussing the Sites Reservoir Project, which will be streamlined by Governor Newsom to be built about 80 miles north of Sacramento in Colusa and Glenn counties. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.